Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, September 5th JumpCast, the only manga podcast nominated to host The View. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and special guest Greg Jan? John? Am I saying
Jan.
That right?
It's Jan.
Jan? Okay, he's from Europe.
Yes.
Jaeg Jan?
Yes. Jaeger, the people who made Spec Ops.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love your game.
Well, thank you. I worked very hard on it.
So tell us about the last 2 months as it pertains to manga.
Well, I suppose the only thing that pertains to manga is while I was going up to a museum in Reykjavik in Iceland, it happened to be above the library, and one of the doors that I went past, it was right in the manga section. So I actually did take some pictures that I'll show to you guys, but it was amusing to see manga in Icelandic.
I love that you traveled to Europe and you saw manga and it was like, oh, the guys will love this, and took a picture of it for us.
I actually also in this was also in Reykjavik, actually. There was a street name that was like Baldur's Gate, so I took a picture of that too.
Well, Reykjavik's super nerdy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where Eve is.
Well, it's where Eve is, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like nerd capital of Iceland, I presume.
It is Iceland.
That would be a good slogan.
2/3 of the population lives there. So
nerd capital of Iceland.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, when I went traveling, I was also surprised that physical manga still exists. And is places that's not like here.
It wasn't surprising so much as it was just kind of amusing to see it in not Japanese or English. I don't know.
Yeah. So, do we have any degree of housekeeping?
Hunter's gone again.
Yeah. Well, not gone. It's on hiatus.
Oh, wow. Illegal Rare actually ended. You're right.
Yeah.
Did it?
Illegal Rare ended. This is its last week.
That was pretty unceremonious.
Yeah. As of this week, every new series in Weekly Shonen Jump is going to be converted into the English Weekly Shonen Jump for the first 3 chapters.
Are they just
now, whether that means they're going to gauge interest in the English one to find out which ones they're continuing with, I don't know. But from here on in, every new series, the first 3 chapters are going to be translated in English Weekly Shonen Jump.
I assume partly it's to gauge interest and partly to keep people interested in Weekly Shonen Jump in America.
I imagine it's also partially because that's Viz. Maybe Viz basically just bought up the rights to the first X number of chapters for every series, so they can lock it down, sort of thing.
Like get a contract that we get everything for a little while, and then we have the option to purchase further publishing rights for it.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but then also, I mean, let's just face it, Scanlations don't tend to pick up for the ones that are started in Weekly Shonen Jump. They just haven't, traditionally.
Yeah.
So, by being proactive in that sense, it might actually tramp down on new series cropping up in the Scanlators. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, that's... Yeah. It's a noble goal, but like you mentioned before that they were doing JoJo, right?
It turns out they are now publishing JoJo, and they did like the first 2 chapters in this week's one or something like that, just kind of as a promotional thing for, hey, we have JoJo now.
It kind of makes, like, I can see people trying to push JoJo in America now. I don't know that it'll ever do that. I don't know that JoJo will ever find success here, but there's various places just trying to go like, yeah, why don't we give JoJo a try here? Like, there was no reason for that game to come out here.
It was pretty amazing, though.
Yeah. And, like, there's so many things you have to avoid with those Scanlations. Like, the same thing the game ran into the problems with, that you can't use the song names. So, that kind of loses JoJo's charm a little bit.
I really love their copyright-free interpretations, though. What was it, like, Bad Deeds Done at a Reasonable Price or something like that?
Yeah, for
yes.
30 deeds on cheap. So there's, yeah, if you're publishing in the manga, I don't know what the rules are there, but maybe they can get away with the song names in that one. Hopefully.
I'm assuming that it's just kind of, at that point, it's parody.
Yeah, or fair use, because you're just saying a name. You're not, like, confusing a product or anything.
You're not actually depicting the video games in great detail.
You're just showing the characters and not asking permission.
So yeah, and then the only other thing that I believe is going on is SBS Volume 75 came out.
Yeah.
There's, you know, some random One Piece stuff. So The only interesting stuff is the ages of Doflamingo's crew. So I know that I had linked Mike to it because I wasn't necessarily going to make it this week. So Imran, how old is Doflamingo?
He says he's 40, doesn't he?
So, yep, 41. How about Virga? Virgo.
He looks kind of like an old man. So I'd say also 40s.
It is also 41.
Let's just skip right to what everyone wants to know. How old do you think Sugar is?
10?
She looks 10 because of her devil fruit. She's actually 22.
Huh.
And then there was a picture of what she would look like if she, like, hadn't eaten her devil fruit. So.
Spoiler, she looks like a Oda girl.
Yes. Very surprising.
She looks basically like, what's her name? Not Bella Hancock.
Margaret.
Margaret, yeah.
Obvious crew member Margaret.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that was when
we
thought
totally
that, like,
going to join the crew.
When every new arc, there was going to be some new crew member.
Well, and now this arc is like everybody is going to be a new crew member, right?
Or no one is.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just going to leave it that 10th spot.
Oh, yes, and I'm sorry. I skipped the most important thing that was in this SBS, which is Hody has two penises because sharks do in real life.
Yes. That's okay.
Yeah, what? You got a problem with that?
There's no part of that I needed to know.
Well,
or to be reminded that Hody exists.
It's a running joke because in every SBS there is always one penis question.
Well, yeah, the question, can Luffy's penis stretch? And then Oda's just like, I guess there's no reason it can't, technically.
Yes.
Something. Or like, can Robin put dirty parts of herself on stuff? And he's like, I guess there's no reason she can't, technically. Like,
He's just sitting there thinking, I'm somebody's father, and I'm answering these things.
Well, and at the same time, he's the one who picks out the questions that actually get published. So,
yeah.
You know, at this point, it's become a running joke.
He encourages people to write him the dirty, stupid questions.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's Oda for you.
I think that's pretty much it for house cleaning.
And we mentioned lastly, Kuroko's basket has ended.
Yes.
Yes.
I guess this week is the final chapter.
Or no, it was last
week. Last week.
Was it?
Yeah. Illegal
yes,
rare
also, slash you don't seem to understand how color pages work, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. That's why I leave it. That was so, like, maddening last week. It's like, oh, we'll just do this the same week as every week. Then, like,
yeah,
you're
I got
not
that
here.
I got that emergency email from you of, like, oh, God.
How do I figure out the order?
And I got to think, like, oh, yeah, this is the first time me and Greg have been gone at the same time.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to Bleach. Which is as one note as any chapter I've ever seen in any manga.
It's goddamn Mame Sasagi. I'm so tired of yelling that at my phone while I was listening to the podcast last week.
I've already forgotten it.
He's not 69 Ichigo or Black Hair Ichigo.
I mean,
yeah, Black Hair Ichigo is the guy who died way back in the day that became an Arrancar.
That's other Black Hair Ichigo. It's Rukia's idol, Black Hair Ichigo. That's why she likes Ichigo. That's why this one's 69 Ichigo. It's different. But yeah, he's apparently still alive and thrusting his sword at Byakuya.
Yeah, it looked like he got disintegrated last chapter.
He at least got something. Something happened to him, and now he's fine.
Whatever. So
that's Bleach in a nutshell.
He's fighting Byakuya, and the guy whose name I don't really care to remember is just going on about love.
The love
yep,
guy.
Can't you feel the love this chapter?
Can we call him the love guru?
Sure. That is basically this entire chapter.
It fits in both theme and quality.
I've seen that movie. I remember nothing about it.
I have not seen that movie, and I have no desire to.
You shouldn't.
Don't watch it for the same reason you shouldn't watch The Starving Games.
Or read Bleach.
Oh, it's not that bad. I cannot good conscience compare Bleach to, like, date movie.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. At least Bleach
is
original
content. Yeah,
one of them
is intentionally bad.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, he talks about love and why things happen because of love.
Love, 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 love.
Love is everything.
And then he attempts to make Byakuya love him.
And Byakuya just dodges the hits for a while. Then he makes a 69 Ichigo.
Yeah.
Come back up and attack him again.
First, Byakuya cuts the thing. So then
He parries.
Because Zanpakuto turns against him, because remember, it's not actually part of their soul anymore, like it used to be.
Sure.
Whatever. So his sword now loves the Love Guru.
But his sword moves on his own, and then Byakuya solves this problem by just throwing the sword in the wall.
Yeah.
So why can't the sword just get back up?
Because
it's
a sword.
Stuck.
Don't be crazy.
It's so far into the wall that it's stuck.
I don't know that I buy that reasoning.
So,
it's a magic sword.
So it gets out by Hisagi running over and pulling it out.
Yeah.
And then, so now he has two swords.
And he's like gurgling blood for some reason.
So
I don't know if
wasn't it a thing in the previous chapter that they were all fighting over what's-his-face? So shouldn't the sword also be trying to kill Hisagi?
I don't know. I don't really understand how
the sword logic no longer, like, a panel after it happened, it didn't make any sense. Like, and not that I don't, like, buy, like, oh no, so how could a sword love anyone? It's like the rules for the love sword are not consistent.
I love that we're calling it the love sword.
It's the better use of that meaning, I guess.
Cupid's sword.
So, anyway, he... Love Guru guy manages to nail Byakuya with a heart. But it doesn't do anything? Because Byakuya's an asshole, I think is the point.
I guess so?
Yeah, like, it's not even like you guys were predicting where it was kind of like that he knows it's better for him, so therefore he won't,
No, he just...
You mean the actual anyway, possible, but... like, good writing?
Yeah.
He just, like, has no capacity for love within him.
Yeah.
So. He doesn't. Also, this guy releases and looks...
He turns into Cupid.
He's got
Eros,
a lot of hair.
Or whatever.
The love thing doesn't make any sense either, because he clearly loves Rukia.
And his wife.
Yeah, and Rukia's sister. So...
So it just doesn't work on him because reasons.
Yeah. So then the Love Guru gets hit. And it turns out to be the zombie captains that were mentioned briefly a couple of chapters ago.
Yeah, Rose and Ken something, Kensuke? Something like that.
Who also has 69 on his chest.
Well, that's where Hisagi got his from. He idolized him as a child. You didn't read those chapters.
Yeah, no, it's the best thing that Bleach has done since the first arc. And
the cryptic origins of the 69 tattoo.
That sounds like something I'm not at all interested in ever reading.
No, it's seriously great.
It's the name of my erotic novel.
69 Shades of Black.
The New York Times calls it thrilling.
So
why
like...
are these guys fighting over here?
Because Mayuri did something to them, because they've got the black shit on their face, like Hitsugaya had.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, like, jazz-handsing over here of, like, I guess that fight's done with, because he's already turned them back on the zombie lady.
There's just multiple... layers of possession going on in this fight. It's no longer interesting at all.
So now wait until they get affected by love, and then they'll be dead zombified, mind control zombified, and then love zombified.
And that will, like, cancel all of them out, and they'll turn back to normal.
Just like a net zero of nothing. They're just totally fine.
I mean, that's a pretty good description of Bleach in general. A net zero of nothing.
You know something I know.
Yeah,
last week.
My favorite thing that you guys kept forgetting to mention, but which is still going on, is because they had to take so much time to set up the cannon to send Ichigo up. Ichigo should still be around right now.
Yeah, he's just over there chilling out, talking about Ichigo.
Well, all this is going on.
Why did they even make that chapter? Now that I think about it, because like they weren't planning to go back to it anytime soon.
I mean, it probably would have been better if they were just ignored for a while. And
yeah,
then it's like, oh, this is what they were doing. Okay.
As opposed to launching them and then going like, all right, now we'll go back to these fights that probably don't matter.
So
obviously, everybody else was also standing around while that was going on.
Yeah.
Just waiting. Like, okay, Ichigo launched, now we can fight again. It's fine.
So it's really convenient that all of the dead captains that got turned into zombies all had blonde hair. So that they can, like, look thematically consistent. So that they didn't have to have dark skin and dark hair.
In contrast to the skin, yeah.
Yeah. Like, every single one, it's all of the people that had light hair.
That is really convenient.
Yeah, so they can all have that cool-looking Gongoro style.
I'm super bored of this fight.
So maybe Kubo actually did plan this, you know, a little
bit. No, I'm sure he planned it. I'm sure it's a shitty plan.
I mean, this is all the fight is at this point, right? Because all the other guys got taken out. So, like,
yeah,
this,
pretty much.
It's like watching a Pokemon battle where people can just capture each other's Pokemon. It's just so fucking boring at this point.
I'm having trouble keeping track of who's on whose side.
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes.
So maybe we'll see.
That's the thing. Like, ultimately, none of this matters. This no part of this fight actually matters.
You know, the thing that surprised me last week was main hot Nazi girl just kind of got unceremoniously taken out off screen, like the blonde one with the lightning powers.
She's fine. Whatever.
She's gonna be a zombie. She has light hair.
Yeah. It's fine. So I guess Kurosuchi can cure the stuff and just simply did it off screen somehow.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a small flashback to that next week.
Or not, because every time we say that, they don't actually do anything.
Yeah. I just...
What if they explain the drug this time? Nope.
Get up to Soul King. Then we can start the second half of this arc.
He's going to hurry it up, and this and Naruto are going to end in the same week.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everyone at Shonen Jump goes bald at once.
Just picturing, like, the New York Stock Exchange thing of people running back and forth throwing papers. At least we have Hunter Hunter. Oh god, what? No!
Alright.
Everybody likes Toriko, right? We've been pushing that pretty hard. Wait, what do you mean?
Onto Naruto, which is maybe ending?
Okay, so you would mention...
I was peeking around for spoilers to try to figure out when the chapters were going to come out, and found a place that was showing what's appeared to be like a teaser page for the magazine, and underneath it wrote, like, translation, you know, Naruto is ending within 10 chapters. But knowing what little Japanese I do and looking over it, I could not find where it would actually talk about this.
Yeah, but on the cover they did mention Naruto in, like, Illegal Rare and things, like, news, so I wonder what that actually was?
Yeah, and I figure, you know, now that the chapter's been out, I haven't seen anyone else mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, that is the weird thing, is that normally, if this was the end of the series, they would have announced something.
I mean, they've kind of been announcing it bit by bit, like, hey, the Naruto epilogue movie's coming.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if it just suddenly ended, but...
I also am not going to be surprised if we just have, like, adult Naruto, the manga, and the movie is just bridging the gap or something.
Naruto GT?
Yes. Exactly. They go to space, where there is an 11 Tails.
It's the sun.
I could totally see them just going to other countries. I don't know. Like, I think Kishimoto clearly wants to end this manga, but I think if it's ending the way it is now, it's a shitty ending.
I don't think, like, I don't necessarily know if he wants to end the manga. I think he wants to end this story. Like, I could see him continuing to do something set in the same world, but not following these characters anymore.
I feel like he's clearly bored of this.
Yeah.
Like, this chapter and this last chapter were... And the entire Kaguya fight is basically, alright, I kinda just don't care anymore. Like, he's putting in the work, but no part of that fight was actually super interesting. And Kaguya wasn't really a villain, for that matter.
I know I've already used this word during this podcast, but it was kind of unceremonious. Like,
yeah.
It just thought, well, she's done. Okay.
Like, even the big Team 7 buildup was kind of like, you know, Sakura just sort of appeared there, and then they high-fived and she died.
They went up high, then they went down low.
Yeah. So, everyone's back, they're all talking to Hagoromo, and no one seems particularly freaked out by this.
Of course not. It's just kind of cool.
Yeah, like, here's the legendary Sage of Six Paths. But, I mean, granted, you did just fight his mother, so... Then the badly drawn Kages are below all that.
The pencil sketch Kages?
Yeah. Like, we're ghosts, so we don't have to have detail.
These were the original five, right? Like, way back in the day? Along with Hashirama?
Well, I think it's all of the Kages.
The ones we see on that page are the other four.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe? I only remember them from, like, one meeting in, like, Hashirama's Ninjas Do Things story.
Yeah, I think that's the only time we've seen them.
So, Hagoromo was, like, congratulating them, like, you did such an amazing thing, I brought you all back.
Congratulations. All the... Congratulations.
And even Kakashi's like, no, I didn't do shit. Like, I was just standing there doing nothing. And Hagoromo was like, yeah, that's why I congratulated you. Because you were great at not doing shit.
So
you somehow led them in this battle, even though he didn't?
You didn't die. Good job. So Naruto says hi to all the tailed beasts, especially Kurama.
And Kurama gets, like, the most tsundere ever.
I love him flipping Naruto off. That's great.
So I like how none of the tailed beasts acknowledge Hagoromo at all.
No. He's just an old man. Who cares?
Like, despite, you know,
creating
them, raising them, and yeah.
My favorite part of the chapter, though, is right after that, when Kakashi brings up Obito, and the sage is like, oh, I'll have to talk to him in Ninja Heaven. And then Kakashi's like, oh, right, Obito! And then we cut to inside, where he's still there.
So, it's... you know, and then Nail and Piccolo decide to unfuse, and then,
Ninja Heaven still confuses me. Everyone changing age repeatedly, just walking in and out completely on their own.
Symbolic of leaving places.
Yes.
And then, I just love that Obito is just like, oh yeah, he's still here. He never left.
Yeah, and then he, like, you know, turns back into a kid and then goes back to Ninja Heaven taking his eyes with him.
Yeah. Which I don't understand, like...
It doesn't make any sense.
So it wasn't that Obito came back and gave new eyes Kakashi.
But
he became eyes for Kakashi.
So I guess what the explanation could be is that Obito's chakra, like, residue went into Kakashi and changed his eyes, but now the chakra's left, so his eyes are just normal again.
I feel like that him just walking in a Ninja Heaven and, like, giving himself to Kakashi and then leaving is a more reasonable explanation. Like, that's pretty much in line with this series. So Kakashi just sort of faints and Sakura grabs him. He's like, oh yeah, I'm kind of out of energy now.
Yeah, and Sasuke... You know, she notices that his eyes are gone.
Yeah. And Sasuke notices, wait a second, Madara's just laying down over there.
And then just, like, immediately runs over grabbing a sword. Which is
probably the most reasonable thing I've ever seen anyone do.
Good for Sasuke! I just love his, like, wait, shit! Does nobody else see
it's
this?
Like, that guy is there! And then, you know, the Sage of Six Paths blocks him, and, Hashirama, right?
Yeah, Hashirama sits there, and they give each other their, like, final death speeches.
The, oh, you can be redeemed because you're sorry at the last second. So,
dying because he was a Jinchuriki, but he lost his tailed beast.
And it didn't come up too often that when a Jinchuriki loses their beast, they die.
Because, like, we've only seen it happen once, and then Naruto wished him back to life.
Well, no, wasn't Naruto. It was, What's-Her-Face killed herself to bring him back to life.
Yeah, but Naruto helped.
But then B seems to be fine. We saw him, right?
B, like, got absorbed in himself. I don't even know what's going on with him.
B just hand waved away.
Because he's awesome and can't die.
He's not even here.
Yeah.
Even though he logically should be?
Well,
isn't
no.
He,
nope,
well, I think nobody... he's, like, inside the Eight Tails or something like that.
Oh, he's in the he's in the goddamn tree that people are not super concerned about freeing people from. They're patting themselves on the back while everyone is still in, like, horrible nightmare world.
Was he captured?
It's not
a horrible
nightmare world. It's a perfect world where everybody's happy. They're all going to come out of the tree and be incredibly pissed at them and attack.
And Neji was still alive in everyone's dream.
Except for Lee's.
His one dream was Neji was dead forever.
So Madara's takeaway from every horrible thing that's happened to him recently is that maybe he tried to push himself too far.
And so Hashirama starts telling him this story about how they were kids.
Remember when we did things?
Oh yeah, the doing things story. I remember that.
I like that story. Tell it again.
That was your acceptance speech. So, Madara dies, and Hagoromo decides it's finally time to end the Itto Tensei. So, by the way, Naruto, I'm taking your father away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for saving the world. Gotta do this.
Just give him a hug.
You know,
oh, wait.
It'll go away. Don't bother taking time to say bye. It's just gonna happen now.
And this is also coinciding with the sun rising over the mountain.
So his dad has enough time to wish him a happy birthday.
Which I forgot that was a thing.
Remember that thing of, like, tomorrow's my birthday?
That,
like,
was way back,
that was like 3 years ago that they said that, right?
When he was training with B under the waterfall?
No, that was him talking shit to the masked man at the edge of the battlefield. Like, before we knew he was Obito, before Madara showed up, before... That was a long goddamn night.
Good on Forth for knowing what date it was.
Yes. Yeah. You would think you would lose track of that when you're, you know, inside of the demon of pain or whatever it is.
It'd be great if he was like, happy 16th birthday?
Apparently 17th.
17th. Damn it.
So, Minato starts trying to have, like, a man-to-man kind of talk. Like, he's going to tell Kushina, like, how well off Naruto's doing. So Naruto starts, like, describing, like, all the food he eats.
Well, this is...
That he takes a bath almost every day.
Yeah, he's basically trying to make up for, like, years of a lack of parents.
Having played the game recently, which I had to sit through a 40-minute cutscene on this, this is all the stuff that Kushina tells him to do as she's departing. Is to bathe every day, eat well, you know, try different things.
Right.
Yeah, this is what she's yelling to him as she's disappearing. So he's, like, responding to her directly.
I like how he says he's been listening to the third, and it's like, not for... A number of years, no.
Well, yeah.
Not even then, really.
I'm trying to remember what the three ninja taboos are.
One of them's the shadow clone jutsu, I think.
Yeah.
Which nobody really has a problem with anymore.
I mean, the only reason they didn't do it is because you die if you did it too much.
And no. Okay, they're the three things that Jiraiya said make a ninja go bad: alcohol, women, and money.
Yeah.
Tsunade's all three of those things.
Except, well, she doesn't have money.
She really wants money.
Yes. So all the Hokages are watching. They don't get to say goodbye to anyone themselves. They're just watching Naruto's goodbye.
Yeah, the third's like, where's Asuma? I want to say goodbye to him. Where's my son? What? Aww.
Yeah, I mean, at least he can get Konohamaru or something. Like, at least let him think that Konohamaru is safe.
Nah, he's fine.
Even though they know about the tree and they're not doing anything about it.
Like how we also don't see Tobirama at all. Like, he really just effed off.
Yeah.
Second.
Oh yeah, you're right. Because he was pinned, and then he was like, alright, we're gonna use Madara's body for things. Like, wait a second, no.
Maybe they had to put him down because he's like, no,
they haven't even shown him in any of this stuff, but yeah.
Maybe this is where the heel turn happens. And he's like, did you not notice that I made every single thing that a villain used?
So all the other Kages are also vanishing away.
Without saying goodbye to their loved ones.
Yes.
Who, again, still trapped in a tree.
So like, yeah, remember how Madara is, like, dead now? Remember those tools that Tenten found that are totally, apparently, not going to matter for anything?
Yeah, you're right.
So thinking about that, I kind of wonder if he's kind of rushing to the ending now.
Maybe.
And like, I mean, it was more he just like came up with some different ideas and then planted the different things, but then didn't end up using it. I don't know.
I do wonder if this isn't going to have the twist of next chapter starts with Naruto trapped in the tree and everyone trying to figure out how to get him out.
That would be so incredibly ballsy.
That would be cool.
Because it would just erase like 20 chapters.
It would erase way more than 20 chapters. That would be verge on like 30 to 40.
Yeah, because that would be back from when Madara was the Ten Tails.
Yeah. I don't know. If they did that, that would be...
They're not going to, though. There's no way.
I think a final fight that starts without Naruto, that starts with everyone trying to save Naruto, would be an incredible way to actually kickstart the ending. But that, yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's gone on too long. Like, a shorter amount of time, I could see it, but...
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. It would never
like
happen.
Nearly half a year of manga. Just
yeah, I think I'm like, just
that
rationalizing.
Would be
cause...
amazing, but it would also, like, I don't know. I think that there's too many people who are fans that would piss off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I feel like sometimes you have to piss your fans off. And that's why a lot of manga ends badly. Is because they're like, oh, we can't do... Like, there's a difference between writing a bad ending and pissing your fans off. Like, if they had ended Death Note the way they wanted to... It would have pissed people off, but it would have been a better end.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, wow, this is a fun little thing. While Naruto was first published in Shonen Jump magazine in 1999, Kishi first created a one-shot for the August 1997 issue of Akamaru Jump, so Naruto literally just turned 17 in the last manga chapter.
I wonder if that's intentional.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a neat little fact.
You guys have read the very early one-shot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Back when he had no idea how to draw Sakura.
No.
It's like, eh, I guess it's Naruto without whiskers. It's fine.
The third, I remember, looked like a horrible monster.
I mean, everyone's one-shots are pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Romance Dawn wasn't bad. It was way too talky, but,
I remember reading it, but I don't remember anything about it. It's straight up the Luffy Shanks stuff, right?
Yeah, it was basically the first chapter, except like they start talking about how there's these two different types of pirates, ones who follow their dreams and the ones that rape and pillage, so they like classify themselves and that sort of thing. So it was like too specific and talky, but otherwise was pretty much the same.
There's the one that had like the buggy parallel that ends up joining the crew. Like, I think that's the very first Romance Dawn.
I don't know if I remember. I don't know if I've read that one then.
Yeah, it has like not Nami. She has like some weird name, and there's like a flash forward at the end where it shows like adult Luffy with her and the buggy dude.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that. Yeah.
I think that's the very first Romance Dawn, and then he remade it, and then that became One Piece.
Yeah, that thing came out in the one that was like the five with the different looks. Yeah. So the samurai
Monster,
one. And
I want to say it was called.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And then there was the Western one shot that he did and some other stuff. But yeah.
Anyway. So I'm coming around to the idea that Naruto's ending. But
if it wasn't.
I think that line has probably been crossed. I think if they wanted to not end it, it would have been maybe 20 chapters ago that they should have like figured a better way to twist it to a better thing. Like, because I think the bigger problem is, like, it was all culminating to something. And then it just became, all right, now we're removing you from everybody else. We're removing you from all the stakes. Just kill this thing and then come back. All you have to do is get your hands on it. No interesting real ideas with it. No really great fight choreography. Just touch it.
Yeah, just slap it and you're done.
Yeah.
And then congratulations.
Which is, like, I feel like part of it is just, it feels like Kishimoto doesn't care anymore.
Chapter is actually called Congratulations. I just noticed that.
Yeah. I think this is just him, like, if it is ending in the next 9 chapters, which it might, because this is 691, so...
I could still really totally see just Naruto Part 3 starts.
I don't see it.
At this point, if it doesn't end here, I'm seeing it as a Part 3 that deals with their kids or something like
that. Yeah, those are the two paths that I see before Naruto. It's either going to end or it's going to continue but be significantly different than what it is.
I think it would be interesting for him to do that, but I think, I don't know. It's nobody, no, not many manga have pulled off the Dragon Ball Z thing.
I can't really think of many that, like, have successfully.
Like, there's time skips here and there, but, like, Dragon Ball clearly ended and then they went, okay, now we need more.
Yeah, it was like a sequel continuation thing.
Yeah, the point where Toriyama was like, alright, I'm going to change everything, I'm going to make Gohan the main character, and Goku will kind
He tried to do that so many times.
Like, and he succeeded at one point, and then everyone hated it. So he's like, okay, Goku's back to life for a tournament, fuck it.
I love the Great Saiyaman stuff. That was great. Ah.
Like, he made Gohan's the strongest thing in the universe right now. Nobody can have a problem with this. Oh, wait, everyone hates this, so I guess whatever.
Fine, whatever. Have your goddamn Goku, you animals.
So obviously, it's going to turn out that, you know, they were isolated on this continent from the rest of the world, and it was an experimentation thing for some, you know, genetic war that's going on, and that's where Chakra comes from.
The Dharma Initiative.
Computer simulation. Yeah. In space.
All right. I feel like I'm sticking on Naruto because I don't want to actually talk about Nisekoi.
Nisekoi.
Wait,
hey,
Nisekoi? I thought we were doing a new series, The Prince and the Pauper.
The Princess and the Pauper?
That's what you guys were talking about. I had no idea. You were both talking about this like this was a thing I should know before the podcast.
Okay,
So hey, they did that story.
Yeah, they did that story.
So Niskoi is out of ideas.
I mean, Niskoi's been out of ideas for a long time.
I know, but this is like more blatant than... It's basically, all right, what can we crib on? What is in the public domain that we can just steal?
So here's my theory. Okay, well, first of all, I'll explain this. That a princess from a foreign country that does not speak Japanese shows up. She looks exactly like Chitoge. And she meets Chitoge and Raku, and Chitoge agrees to switch places with her because she sympathizes with her. While she explores Japan with Raku. And then, inevitably, she falls in love with Raku.
Yes, that's the chapter.
Yes, yeah, that is a chapter. But my theory is, Raku read The Prince and the Pauper and dreamed this world because he can't think of another woman. He just used Chitoge in his head. And this is what happens.
So you're saying Raku is running out of ideas and the universe around him
is... I'm saying it's all very meta.
So you're saying this is the Raku is God theory.
Yes, the Raku universe theory.
And it's Raku that's being uncreative, not the author.
Yes. I think that would be a good twist when everyone hates your manga. It's like, it wasn't me, it was the character.
So, I don't know, I just find something a little weird about, like, it's from a foreign country, and she looks like this half-Japanese, half-American, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. That's pretty specific.
Yes. With an iPhone. She knows nothing about the outside world.
Where is this country supposed to be?
I don't know. She's just kind of like, looks like Southern Asia or something. Like, she's kind of...
She looks kind of Middle Eastern, South Asia, then she herself looks like a...
American?
Yeah.
Like, blonde hair, blue eyes, white complexion for that region of the world would be kind of crazy.
Not that Chitoge looks super Japanese either.
No. Or super American, but just... Yeah. Within the manga, we're told that she looks super American.
Sure. We're also told she's like a genius, but that never really comes up.
I really enjoy the running joke in the chapter of the iPhone translator messing things up.
Yeah.
That's actually legitimately funny.
Yeah, and I also do enjoy, like, to a certain degree, her personality seems to be kind of, I don't know, midway between Onodera and Chitoge.
Well, they call that out specifically, that she looks like Chitoge, but has a personality like Onodera, which I guess is like...
The perfect woman.
Yeah, gets Raku's fire stoked, I guess.
Also, she can't say anything. The perfect woman.
She just lets me talk forever.
I can just kidnap her and do whatever I want.
Which she basically does by taking her to an amusement park, and she only wants to ride thrill rides.
Hey, and that's the reason to go to an amusement park. I mean, come on. Yeah. That's just having good taste.
They have a translation error where she wants to meet at the entrance to the ride, and Raku understands that as the entrance to the park. But while she's waiting there alone, she realizes she made a mistake, and then Raku finds her. Because there was no problem.
He was,
you know, running all over the entire park. And of course, I like the flip side of this in that, you know, Chitoge is pretending to be her, and nobody has noticed that she can't speak whatever language this is.
Yeah, there's been absolutely no incident so far, which is really funny.
I imagine there will be some sort of incident, or that the princess won't want to go back or something. I don't know. Tune in next week when we find someone that looks like Haru.
She'll enroll in the school and have a key.
We find a cake that looks weirdly like Haru. There we go. Done.
Tsugumi finds a cake that looks like her on a cart in the lobby.
And it turns it to two hers.
It turns her into a giant 20-foot demon.
I would be more interested if it were an interesting twist on The Prince and the Pauper, but it's not.
Well, it is. They're women. Huh?
I don't even know what the point of these chapters are, even in
the context
of...
I have to submit something this week?
Nisekoi. Yeah.
It's just things happen. That's what Nisekoi is. It's a things happen manga. This is a story because things happen.
Things.
Yes.
Sensei no Nisekoi. Yeah, I'm not feeling it at all. Like, I read this chapter and I'm like, I don't really want to talk about this.
I got one page or two pages into the chapter and went, wow, I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Exactly that happened.
I literally said out loud, oh, they're doing one of these.
And then she, like, the part where she fell in love with him is the part that gets me the most.
We should have had one of us not read this, and then we tell the setup to the person. I bet we would have been able to just, then they, I don't know, they go to like an amusement park or something, and then they get split up, and then Raku finds her, because that's what he does to every woman, is they get lost and he finds them, and then they're all blushy.
He forgot his bear costume this time.
Oh yeah, he's a prince, so he can totally marry the princess.
Yeah, just obviously need to, you know, do the thing where, as a, not even, you know, coming up with the entire synopsis or something like that, just have a person describe the first page to them and see if they can figure it out.
They should take it all dark like Magical Madoka and, like, make it so, oh, Yui just had her killed. She can do that because she's head of the Chinese Mafia. I watched that show, by the way.
You did?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Like, I feel like it treads water for way too long. And then I hated the ending.
I feel like it should have been, like, 6 episodes long.
Yeah. I guess they wanted you to get to know the characters, but most of them were kind of shitty.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, that's Nisekoi. Let's talk about One Piece.
Let's do talk about
There's
One Piece.
There's, like, nothing to discuss with Nisekoi.
So Jinbei just keeps coming across people who are distressed.
Well, in this case, I don't know what he... Oh, it was just capsized, so yeah. He uprighted it and threw everybody back on board.
Yeah.
So they're all thanking him, even though the boat is obviously completely broken and they're still in the middle of the ocean.
It's fine. And boats have souls.
As soon as Jinbei lets go of that, it's just going to go right back underwater.
It's fine. Boats have souls. It's okay.
They have souls.
You know, that's never come up again.
They have souls so that when you set them on fire, you feel something. And they feel something. Pain.
Like, I wonder when that's going to get reintroduced, the idea of the boats having souls.
Well, it's only ones that are loved. Very
so they,
much.
They just
so
don't
it's
love
only
the sunny.
Their boat.
They don't love the Sunny as much, so.
Well, it hasn't appeared yet. It hasn't needed to.
Like, there was that one time that all of them were split up. That boat could have gone save them. But no, it chose not to. So anyway, the soldiers that Cavendish, Robin, and Bartolomeo are fighting have dissolved, I guess.
Yeah, they basically are turning back into people.
Because Sugar's breed... back into a coma.
And each one was made of 8 people. It seems like each individual part was a different person.
Yeah, which so is why they were all some of Doflamingo's underlings.
And they were all concerned about it, and like, what's his name? Explodemon?
Gladius.
Gladius.
There we go.
The video game.
Sure. He explained, oh, we're going to turn you back right after it was all done.
And, you know, they had forgotten, he had forgotten that they existed, because...
Yeah, so they clearly weren't going to turn them back.
Totally lying. But they
buy it. So on the top floor of the Royal Palace, Luffy is confronting Doflamingo and Treble and sees Bellamy on the floor there.
Yeah, and thinks back to what he said to him before they parted ways.
Yeah. And Doflamingo's like, oh yeah, you guys met that one time, didn't you? Way back when.
And then Bellamy, he lifts up Bellamy's head and Bellamy starts begging for death.
Yeah, he's just, you know, completely had the crap beaten out of him, blood and tears streaming down his face.
Bellamy came back here voluntarily, didn't he?
Yes.
Because he wanted to know why, what's-his-name was trying to kill him.
Yeah, because Doflamingo sent Dillinger to kill him.
Yeah.
And he wanted...
Yeah, Dillinger is actually another kid. Yeah, Imran, how old is Dillinger?
Let's say 25.
I think he was 16.
Yeah, he's 16.
Damn, I went the wrong way on that one.
See, he actually was, like, looked the same age as Sugar 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah. So Luffy is getting pissed off at Doflamingo for messing with Bellamy, so he sends out a foot stamp and Doflamingo just sort of blocks it with Bellamy's head.
Yeah.
So Luffy's like, oh, sorry, didn't mean to kick you in the face.
And Law points out, provoking people is what he does. We talked about this. Don't do that.
Yeah, slow your roll.
That's what he wants you to do.
And Treble finds it hilarious that Luffy kicked him, which I kind of agree that it was pretty hilarious.
Yes.
He just absolutely starts cracking up.
Doflamingo talks about how Law and Luffy have been getting, like, ruining his life for the longest time with the Sad Factory and Caesar Crown.
And he's also, they've also killed Virgo and Monet, who were his companions, and kidnapped Caesar.
And, you know,
he got Crown back, didn't he?
No, Clown is with Sanji and them on the boat.
Oh, right, okay.
He's still involved in the story somewhere.
Yes, Big Mom has him now, basically.
He is the 10th crew member.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He is on the boat.
So they start talking vaguely about Law's backstory, but decide, like, they make a very pointed decision to not expound on it at all.
This is like that time 10 years ago. Anyway, let's fight.
Yeah, be as vague as possible. So immediately, Doflamingo sends out a clone.
Yeah, he calls
to attack Law.
He calls Law the third Corazon, or he said he could have been the third Corazon.
Yeah.
And Corazon was his brother, right?
I guess.
Well, Corazon is the name of his brother, I believe, and then also it's like, you know, the heart seat.
Yeah, Spanish for heart.
Yeah.
So I guess Law was supposed to take over for Doflamingo's brother that he killed.
Yeah.
And then decided not to.
So before Luffy can help, or before he can punch Doflamingo, Bellamy's corpse starts fighting him.
Well, his, like, body.
Yeah, his body.
He's being puppeted.
Yes.
As Doflamingo tends to do.
He's being mind controlled with strength.
And he's waiting for Straw Hat to kill him so he doesn't do anything. Like, even if he killed him, it wouldn't stop him.
No, yeah. Then it would be a corpse fighting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Doflamingo's basically taunting him this entire time. And Luffy decides he's had enough and decides to actually get really involved in the fight. And Law's telling him no, stop.
So Luffy makes a giant hockey gum gum punch.
Like,
and goes to...
the on fire, it's like the Red Hawk or whatever it's called.
Yeah. So he goes
aimed
to
at Law.
Yeah, he's lunging at Law. And Treble is alarmed at this, saying that he's going to beat the shit out of Law. He's lost his mind. Ha 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 ha.
And then Law goes, room, and Doflamingo goes, shit.
And Law trades places with Doflamingo. So that Law is sitting on the chair, and Doflamingo gets red-hawked punched right in the stomach.
And somewhere Sakura's vest is just sort of there.
Oh, the vest.
It's basically the same idea.
Law turns and, you know, just has this lovely grin and attacks Treble and cuts him into pieces.
Yeah. With his, breakdance fighting.
To the extent that you can cut Treble down to pieces.
At least his staff is gone.
Yeah.
And then Law yells out that Luffy is the worst.
And Luffy's response is, you're part of that generation, too.
Yeah. Yep, the worst generation.
Damn kids. That punch on Doflamingo is so great.
It really is. We've been waiting for, like, a satisfying hit on Doflamingo for a while.
I think that's, like, the first landed punch. Like, otherwise they were just fighting clones.
Yeah, I think so.
Although I wonder if this is going to turn out that this was a clone. Or whatever.
Still not the best punch that Luffy's ever done, though.
No. Still good.
He hit the Celestial Dragon.
Yeah. I love that one animated, because it just goes for so long and has so many frames of animation. But yeah, so we started the fight with Doflamingo.
Yep.
So we're totally jumping to something else next chapter, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go see how...
I'm just picturing like a big like Wheel of Fortune style wheel that we spin, wait for it to stop and go like, soldier, we'll see how the soldier's doing.
See what Sandro is drawing right now.
How's the whale? Whale's still good.
I'm curious, Greg, your thoughts about the Usopp sniper thing.
Oh, I thought it was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, what was your guys' problem?
I don't really have a problem with it. I'm just saying, like, there's so many things you can do with a sniper, and it just, that's one of the expected things.
What did you say? And I quote, that was the worst thing I've ever read. Worse than Bleach.
That does sound like me, yes.
It's a quote. It's on radio.
Yeah, that's how radio works.
Yep, we believe that that's what you said, so therefore you said it. But no, I genuinely thought that that was one of the best One Piece chapters in a long time.
I loved... Okay, first of all, I died laughing at the shot that looked like his face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I actually put my head down, slamming my fist on the table, and I don't know. Like, the hockey shit that Usopp's starting to get is really cool, too, that he's actually becoming strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're powering everybody up, because he was the one who got, like, I guess the least powered up. He just kind of learned how to shoot other things.
He became a wild man.
Yeah. But yeah, One Piece is cool.
It's on fire, which means it's going to have a break pretty soon.
So on to Assassination Classroom.
Yes.
Yes. Where we have the God of Death and Princess Bitch.
So the kids figure out pretty quickly, hey, wait a second, the bouquet had a bug. We're pretty dumb. It's not a small bug, too.
Oh, it's like a cell phone.
Yeah.
That being said, how often do you actually, like, take apart bouquets of flowers and, you know, look at it?
True enough, but I don't know.
Mehara very quickly smashes it.
Yeah. Even though it's kind of pointless at this point. Yeah. Whatever.
Hey, you never know. He might be trying to find out some more stuff, like that.
So they think they know they can't contact Karasuma, so they gotta kind of go on their own, but they also don't think the God of Death seems to be that bad a guy. And that's sort of the way that, like, he plays off, because then he can just, like, get close to you, then stab you, with a really kind of disturbing picture.
Yeah, where he's gonna, like, slit a girl's throat that's on his lap.
Yeah.
So this is, like, the Nagisa thing, right? Like, the calm aura surrounding...
He is the older Nagisa.
Yeah, this is the end road.
He is what Nagisa will become.
Ugh.
So they have a location, and they decide, like, they're going to go... They have to go on their own, because they can't notify Karasuma or Kuro-sensei. So, and they quickly realize, oh, we're just bait.
They're also easy targets for other assassins.
Yeah. So this is the first time they've actually, like, well, I guess not the first time, because Taoka did that thing, but they're actually, like, in danger by going there.
Yeah, someone wants them. Not Kuro-sensei, not Karasuma.
Right.
Yeah. So... They all grab their super gym clothes and decide they don't really have a choice. They have to go.
Meanwhile, Karasuma is also still talking to Lovro, or remembering what Lovro was saying about God of Death.
I was going to say, because if they're still talking, that is the least bugged phone in the world.
And he talks about how the God of Death occasionally, like, he'll hire people, but they'll never know what they're into.
Yeah, so they illustrate this by a man building, like,
a ramp.
Yeah, and then the God of Death using that to drop a bowling ball on somebody.
Then Karasuma comes across some flowers and sees the flower guy / the God of Death, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah, so, you know, picks it up, hands them to him, you know. You don't want it to get stepped on.
And then perhaps what's going to end up being the biggest backfire move, God of Death kind of just sort of taunts him. Like, yeah, you're gonna lose these things unless you pay attention to them. So Karasuma, deciding it's about a flower, decides to just put it in his briefcase and keep walking.
Like, oh, he was talking about flowers. Okay.
Yeah, he's like, making close contact. I could tell that he was special, but he's not, you know, on my level.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that's going to probably bite him in the ass.
I agree entirely.
I kind of wonder if, at this point, Karasuma knows everything. Like, just from that conversation. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
He's actually been shown to be, like, wildly competent.
Like, yeah, he's probably arguably the most competent person in the series.
The thing that's, like, that's the whole theme of Karasuma, is that he knows way more than what's going on. He just doesn't tell anybody because they don't need to know.
Yeah, I mean, especially after that conversation with Lovro, like, yeah, someone's going to be, like, probably in disguise talking to you. It's like, oh, I'm this cryptic flower man. It's like, oh, it's the God of Death. Okay, bye.
Because he recognized the flowers as the same ones that he gave Irina.
Ah, you're right, yeah.
So he Irina missing for a couple of days, probably pieced all this together in his head.
Yeah. Like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. So at the actual location, Itona is using a recon helicopter because he still exists.
Yeah, I love his integration into the class.
He's just sort of there in the background?
Yeah.
He's the gadget dude.
Yeah, he got a role very quickly and he just does stuff.
And just doesn't have to make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
So he points out, perhaps most logically, that they're not on the roof, so I don't know.
They're not on the roof. My helicopters are useless. What do you guys got?
So the kids that realize, oh, well, he knows of us from the bugs, so he probably doesn't know a whole lot about us.
Yeah, it would only be what they said within the last couple days.
Yeah. So that's our advantage, that there's no way he can deal with all of us. So we're just going to look for an opening and then grab her Irina and then run.
And tough for the people who end up fighting him, because you'll be dead.
Yep.
Yeah. You can rest easy knowing that most of us will leave unharmed.
So they tell Ritsu, who is also wearing combat gear.
Yes, I love that touch.
Tell Kuro-sensei by 12 if they don't get back.
Yeah, they basically set a dead man switch.
Yeah.
Which
at that point, like, if they're gone by 12, then somebody's dead anyway, so... They need to contact Kuro-sensei, who I feel like should be more aware of what's going on at the moment.
Well, isn't he in Brazil or something like that?
Yeah, he's in Brazil, but he can fly back quickly.
Yeah, he could check in every couple of minutes. Like
maybe he's watching that Germany game.
With, very sad.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is boring. I'm going to leave.
So they walk into the building, and it's basically just a big empty room with a camera and a microphone or
speaker. Yeah. So he notices they're all wearing interesting clothes, and they just want Arena back.
And he's like, awesome, I'm going to trap you, and hits a button.
And the floor drops, and they're in a cage.
Somehow they didn't expect this.
We didn't expect him to have a plan. We thought we could just walk in and take her and run.
But we're wearing these cool clothes. So they've all been captured, and they're currently in a prison because the entire room was an elevator.
And, you know, doing that, doing it this way, you know, prevents the risks that would happen capturing them one at a time.
Yeah. So he explains that he lured them all there as hostages. So he can, if he needs Crocetti to do things like, you know, spread yourself with anti-Crocetti material, he can kill one person.
Yeah, and they illustrate it by showing bodies hanging from the ceiling dripping with blood.
Yeah.
Pretty so graphic.
He has 30 people he can kill. And that's his main thing. Like, he has more than enough to make any hostage negotiation work in his favor. So they all get kind of scared and be like, "What are you going to try and kill us even if we try to oppose you?" And they're like, "No, we're not going to do that. I can't lose people." So they use that as confirmation they can do whatever they want.
So then they pull out their gear. So one of them finds a hollow wall, one of them pulls out a smoke bomb, and the other pulls out a basically C4 charge. And so they smoke screen and then blow the wall and all escape.
Yep. And so the God of Death, really liking this now, that like, oh, it's going to be a fun game, takes off his apron and basically becomes a Guilty Gear character.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not the only one that thought that. I think it's the bending over.
Yeah, it's the weird guy. But he decides it's fine if one or two die.
Yeah, that page is amazing.
It is pretty amazing, yes.
He's like coming out of like a Refalsia or something and has a mantis claw and a skeleton hand and
holding the knife, and then like the top thing where his face is half a skull.
Yeah, it's really like they do villains super well like that. Like they always give them that like the reveal of, oh, this person's actually a monster.
Yeah,
which is supposed to, I guess, you know, contrast to Kurosensei, who is a monster but doesn't look like it.
Yeah, because the God of Death's like pretty consistently drawn as like a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Kind of like the eyelashes and
the gas station attendant from Persona 4.
That's what I always think of whenever I see him.
He's such an Ikemen.
Yeah.
The totally non-important flower person who's intricately designed.
So yeah, my guess is they're able to run away long enough until they get into a bad situation where Kurosuma shows up and saves them.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they have a plan that does not entirely work out.
I'm going to hope they have a plan that doesn't entirely work out. While they were gone, or while they're distracting him, Kurosuma has freed Arena, and then she's the one that takes him down.
I like how his first thing wasn't just, oh yeah, by the way, I still have Arena here. You guys didn't think that part out really well.
Just turn around and stab her, and then go after everyone.
Yeah, like this is the entire reason you came here. You guys are kind of dumb.
Then again, he doesn't look behind him for the rest of the chapter.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet maybe Irina escapes on her own and helps save the day.
Yeah, she is like one of the world's best assassins.
Yeah, like, well, but her entire thing is she's one of the world's best assassins because of infiltration and taking them out sort of thing.
She's like, not a Kurosuma superhero.
Once the shit has hit the fan, she is not the most useful person in the world. I'm sure she can fight hand-to-hand and that sort of stuff, but yeah.
I don't know, this is a very cool chapter.
Yes.
I'm very eager to see where this goes next. And saying that, I'm sure they're going to take like 3 weeks off.
Yep.
Yep. All right. I say we're done.
Yeah, no Soma this week.
Yep.
Because there's just no chapter put out.
Well, we got one on the off week, I think, didn't we? So.
Yeah, so they're doing fine.
Yeah.
I think it's caught up at this point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Okay, so This has been your Friday, September 5th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
There is a, like, comedy parody of The Hunger Games called The Starving Games.
Is that on Netflix? Don't watch it. Don't watch it. Don't watch it.